put it here. Maybe tilt it. Put it. Because I have a habit of using my hands during class, and then I can knock it to the ground. All right, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 2, text 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nishidyamana
Nishidyamana
Sa Sadasya Mukhyar Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Chapam Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrita Manyur Jagama Kuravya Nijam Niketanam Nishidyamana Sasadasya Mukhyair Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Nishidyamana sa sadasya mukhyair
Nishidyamana sa sadasya mukhyair
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Tasmat Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Tasmat Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Jagama Kauravya Nijam
Niketanam Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Nishidyamana sa sadasya mukhyair
Nishidyamana sa sadasya
mukhyair Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Tasmat Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Tasmat Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Okay.
Nishidyamanah sa sadasya mukher
Nishidyamanah sa sadasya mukher
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam Nishidyamana sa sadasya mukhe
Nishidyamana sa sadasya mukhe
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Nishidyamana sa sadasya mukhe
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Tasmad Vinishkramya Vivrida Manyur
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
Jagama Kauravya Nijam Niketanam
All right, ladies.
Nishidyamana sa sadasya mukhe. Daksho Giritraya Vishrija Shapam. tasmād viniṣkamya vigṛhitamanyo
Okay. Nishidyamanaha. Being requested not to. Saha. He, Daksha. Sadasya mukyahai. By the members of the sacrifice. Dakshaha.
Daksha.
Giritraya. To Shiva. Vishrija. Giving. Shapam. A curse. Tasmat. From that place. Vinishramya.
Going out.
Vivridamanyahu. Being exceedingly angry. Jagama. Went. Kuravya.
Oh,
Vidura. Nijam. To his own. Niketanam. Home. Translation. Maitreya continued my dear Vidura, in spite of the requests of all the members of the sacrificial assembly. Daksha, in great anger, cursed Lord Shiva, and then left the assembly and went back to his home. So you repeat, Maitreya continued.
Maitreya continued.
My dear Vidura.
My dear Vidura.
In spite of the requests.
In spite of the requests.
Of all the members.
Of all the members.
Of the sacrificial assembly.
Of the sacrificial assembly.
Daksha in great anger.
Daksha in great anger.
Cursed Lord Shiva.
And
then left the assembly.
And left the assembly.
And went back to his home.
And went back to his home.
So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, he. Yeah. Anger is so detrimental. That means dangerous. And hurts you in many different ways. That even a great personality like Daksha, out of anger, left the arena where Brahma was presiding, and all the great sages and pious and saintly persons were assembled. All of them requested him not to leave, but infuriated, he left, thinking that the auspicious place was not fit for him. Puffed up by his exalted position, he thought that no one was greater than he in argument. It appears that all the members of the assembly, including Lord Brahma, requested him not to be angry and leave their company. But in spite of all these requests, he left. That is the effect of cruel anger. In the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, it is advised that one who desires to make tangible advancement in spiritual consciousness must avoid three things: lust, anger, and the mode of passion. Actually, we can see that lust, anger, and passion make a man crazy, even though he be as great as Daksha. The very name Daksha suggests that he was expert in all material activities, but still, because of his aversion towards such a saintly personality as Shiva, he was attacked by these three enemies. Thank you. Anger, lust, and passion. Lord Chaitanya therefore advised that one be very careful not to offend Vaishnavas. He compared offenses towards a Vaishnava to a mad elephant. As a mad elephant can do anything horrible, so when a person offends a Vaishnava, he can perform any abominable activity. Okay, so Nishidyamana sasidasya mukhya rakshogaritraya vishrishapam tasma vinishkramya vibhidamanyur Jagama Kuravya Nijam Niketanam. Om Ganat Vidanda Shah. Ganam Jana Shlakaya Tatsuru Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurvena Maha. So let's talk about anger a little bit here, because this is what Daksha is manifesting. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually analyzes where anger comes from. It's a famous verse, the second chapter. Jayato vishyakum sam sangos teshu vijayate. Sangatsanjayate kama kama rodavijayate. So it's a very important verse, one of the most important verses in the Gita for those aspiring to control their senses. So jayate vishya pumsam. So there's something called sensa-object, vishaya, things that we can enjoy in this world. So one begins to contemplate, the translation Prabhupada gives is contemplation of sensa-objects. Vishaya, but things, enjoyable things. Basically, the direct Sanskrit meaning is vishaya, means enjoyable things, things you can enjoy. So contemplation of things with a mood to enjoy. That's actually another analysis of that Sanskrit verse. Pretty bold. See. So, when you contemplate them, jayato. Jayato also means meditate. So, jaya, jhana, jhana, dhyana, samadhi. Anyway, so, when you contemplate them with a mood of enjoyment, then after a while you get attached. You can get attached to anything. Just like you see, people are attached to various types of sense objects in this world that we would consider to be abominable. Just like, let's give the example of cigarette smoking. Okay? So, when one first starts to smoke cigarettes when they're very young, it's a horrible taste. But by doing it enough times, contemplating and doing it enough times, you get addicted to it. And you can't stop. Alcohol is the same thing. Of course, you're all from pious families, and none of you drank any alcohol your whole lives. And actually, I didn't either. It just there was one religious ceremony when I was young where they gave the children a little wine. Anyway, I won't tell you what it was. It was a religious ceremony. You had to take it. I never drank other than that. And it had such a horrible taste to it because it was like fire in the mouth. It's like drinking fire, you know, something very, very hot, like hot chilies, but worse than that. So if I contemplate it, when you first drink it, I was talking to one devotee who was a drunkard before she came to the movement. And I said, "Isn't it horrible, the whole taste?" She said, "No, it tasted sweeter than nectar." Because I said, "What are you talking about?" So when you actually do something or contemplate something enough time, you can become attached to anything. Just anything abominable. Like you see people eating. Yesterday we were driving on the road and people were selling crabs on the road. You know what crabs are? Yes. You know, they were holding this thing up in the air so people would stop, you know. "Please stop. We have nice crabs for you." And I go, "Ew." Or you walk into a fish market and it smells like, it's a horrible smell. But they contemplate it enough, it becomes like nectar to them. Or like Prabhupada gave the example when his spiritual master sent devotees to preach in Korea. The people in Korea were drinking this thing called liquid dog. You've heard about this before? No, interesting story. What that meant is they would take all the dead animals that died and put them in a container. And the container would rot. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the story that whenever they removed the lid from the container, because they'd let them rot for a year until they would take the water off of it, and that would be their drink. So whenever they took the lid off of it, you know, just to put another animal in, the whole place would smell for a week. And the devotees were nauseous. They were trying to preach Krishna consciousness, and they were just practically vomiting. And so, because they were attached to it. It's something they were brought up with, attached to it, jayato vishyat pumsam. Sangas teshya pajayate. You know, they became attached. I mean, there's all these examples I can give. Whereas, when the devotees would cook in ghee, the neighbors would complain in Korea. They'd say, "What's that horrible smell, ghee?" But when they had this liquid dog, you can actually go into a Korean store now and buy a bottle of this stuff. In Korean it says liquid dog. And it's their favorite drink. It's rotted. Anyway, whatever. Or I was talking before about crabs. Prabhupada talked about crabs and lobsters, and he said it's like eating pus. Prabhupada used that example. So it's interesting how you, let's apply it to ourselves. If you contemplate anything, you will get attached to it after a while. Even the most horrible, obnoxious thing, you'll get attached to. And just like the story of Ajamil, he was married to a very nice wife, had nice children and everything like that. He just meditated on this prostitute, and then he got attached. So what does that mean for us? That we have to be very careful in what we look at or contemplate, and we have to cut ourselves off. Like, there's thinking, feeling, willing, the three stages of the mind, you understand? As far as attachment is concerned. You think about something, and then you start to feel it. I mean, I'll give you a practical example of how that works. Like, you're walking by a pizza restaurant, let's say. Whatever, think about your favorite food. I mean, actually, I can even do a demonstration in class about it. But let's say you're walking by something, you know, a cake restaurant or something like that, and you look in the window, and then you think about it, but then after a while you begin to salivate. You know, salivate? You understand what that means? Your stomach starts to talk to you and everything like that. And then after that, it becomes so strong that you do it. I mean, I can give you a practical example in class. Let me describe a sweet rice. Think of sweet rice and halva and pakoras and pizza. You know, whatever is your favorite, just think of it very deeply. And immediately, physiologically, there's a response, isn't it? You know, think of it. Don't you experience something? Like I say, pakora is cooked in ghee. Or paneer. Big pieces of paneer and a paneer sabji. Everyone, their tongues start to work, move in their mouth. And then after a while, they become so attached that, you know, they walk out of class and they just run and eat that thing. You know, if they have a wife, they just tell the wife, this is what you have to make for me for breakfast. So that's thinking, feeling, willing. And so that really occurs. That's the same thing as, you know, contemplating sense objects, one gets attached to it. So we have to cut it off in the beginning. Like, you have to be, a devotee has to be so alert that if there's a potential sense object that has nothing to do with Krishna. Of course, you can also apply that in relationship with Krishna. Like, you look at Krishna, you become more attached to Krishna, you want to go back to Godhead, you know, thinking, feeling, willing also applies in that regard. But in the material world, we have to be very careful about these things. And there's thinking, feeling, willing in the different modes of nature. Like, if you become contemplating something in the mode of ignorance, like the crabs we were talking about, that's in the mode of ignorance. Or if you start to contemplate something in the mode of passion, like spicy food, or karaoke clubs at night. Of course, devotees don't go to clubs at night. Huh? Yes, sometimes. None of the devotees here in this class. But that's passion, you know. And you get attached to it. And you can't give it up. I mean, it's really amazing. Because it's an addiction. Or even this morning, we were driving in the car to here, and we were looking up the sky. It was a beautiful sunrise. I mean, it was nice. There's very nice, reddish things in the sky, you know, the refraction and the clouds and everything. And so that's contemplation of the mode of goodness. But also that bewilders one. Actually, it bewilders one more than practically the mode of passion and ignorance, because one becomes attached to a sense of happiness, according to Krishna and the Gita, that one just thinks, wow, this is nice. The material world is so nice. It's like I was saying to the devotees in the car coming over, Fiji's like the spiritual world, see? Even I fell in line, you know. Just looking at the sunrise. I just said that, didn't I? I said, oh, Fiji's so wonderful, it's like the spiritual world. But that's Maya. It's not like the spiritual world. Because there's death, disease, old age here. People are in anxiety. See, even the birds. You think the birds, this chirping is so nice. But what are they chirping for? They're chirping for food, territory. for a nice lady bird to get married to. You know, they're an anxiety. That chirping is an anxiety call. You know, or it's fight or flight, right? Fight or flight, or eat it, or have sex with it. You know, just anxiety. All these things called bukti mukti siddhikamsa balaya shampa. They cause anxiety. So even the mode of goodness causes anxiety after a while. Because, you know, I'm contemplating nice sunrise, but what happens if the sun doesn't rise and it... Well, the sun will rise, but let's say it's cloudy or it's a storm. One time I was here in Nandi and there was a big hurricane, cyclone. And I was upset. Why can't I see the sun? So I was angry. That's the point. So even you contemplate things in the mode of goodness, after a while you become angry because when you don't get those things in the mode of goodness... like Daksha, of course, wasn't contemplated in the mode of goodness. But Sandy Jayato Vishakun Sang Sangos Teshu Vajayate. Then it's born some attachment. Sangat Sanjayate Kama. Then lust. Now, what is the difference between lust and attachment? That's interesting. Attachment, it's a matter of degree. Like, attachment means, you know, I'd really like to have that, but lust is I must have it. You understand? It's a degree. Because Krishna makes that distinction in the Gita between attachment and lust. You understand? Attachment means, oh, let's say I have this nice recorder here. Oh, it's very nice. But then if I keep looking at it, I must have it. So that's lust. And you think about it. You dream about it. Just like there was this one movie many years ago called The Secret. You ever seen a movie? You saw that movie. Where it shows that if you really want something in this world, then you have to really contemplate on it all day long. Become lusty after it. Meditate that you have it. Like it showed one man, he wanted a sports car. And he was sitting in his chair in his house shifting the gears. That's lust. Or a boy wanted a bicycle. Of course, it doesn't work like that. You don't get whatever you want unless you have good karma. That's another thing. But that's another subject matter. But that's what lust is. I must have it. And then what lust does, it bewilders you, like it's described here. I mean, attachment bewilders you a little bit, not completely. But nunam pramata kurate vikarma yadindriya priti aparinoti, as Lord Vrishabhadev says. When one becomes very lusty to satisfy his senses. Nunam pramata. Pramada means prakasti rupena jayate. That one actually, it means crazy, but even more crazy. Illusion, actually not crazy in the material sense that one needs to go in the mental institution, but crazy in the sense that one becomes more an illusion. Nunam pramata kurte vikarma. Then he begins to perform what we call vikarmic activities. Vikarmic means things that will give you a bad reaction. The Gita says there's things that give you a good reaction. That's karma, karmakanja stuff. And then there's bad reaction, vikarma. So nunam pramata kurate vikarma. Why? Because yadindriya priti aparinoti. Because the senses, just like sometimes the wife is called priya. Right? You call your wife Priya? No? Why not? No, you should call her Priya. So sometimes the wife is called Priya. So, but in fact, it's not the wife that is Priya, it's Indriya Priya. It's the senses that are dear. Because, what is Chanakavanda's Apriya? That if the wife doesn't speak pleasingly, she's not Priya anymore. Aranya tena gantavyam yata aranyam yata graham. You know that saying? That's a Chanakapanda shloka. He says, apriya vanana, something like that. When the wife doesn't speak pleasingly anymore, she's not priya anymore. And then aranya tena gantavyam yata aranyam yata graham. You should head for the forest. Because you're already in the forest. You understand? You're already in the forest, but you're not making any spiritual advancement, so you might as well go to the forest where other wild animals are and then experience spiritual advancement. So, apriya vadana. So anyway, so the end, but the real point is, indriya, the indriya, the senses are dear to us. I mean, that's the confusion people have about love sometimes. They say, I love you, I love you, I love you. But actually, it's indriya priya. The real priya is the senses. Not the wife or the children, it's just the senses. You know, so it's actually a very self-centered thing. Not in every case, not with pure devotees. So, don't get me wrong. So, yadindriya prita apranoti, Lord Rishabhadev says. So, anyway, so this is the point. And then, jayato vishav sangostesha vijay sangat sandhayate kama. And then kama krodha vijay. Then anger comes. And so when the anger comes, one gets krodha bhavati samoha, samoha smriti vibhramaha, smriti brahmsha, nashti buddhi, nashti buddhi, vinashti. This is a whole chain of events that occurs according to Krishna the Gita. From anger, your memory gets bewildered. You don't remember, in other words, you may remember your name, but you don't remember what's good for you and what's bad for you. Dharma. You just get bewildered. It's interesting, even the scientists have analyzed that when one becomes very attached to sense objects, the brain scan is exactly the same as when one takes cocaine. Especially love, when one falls in love, then one gets bewildered. And you see that, you know, men start walking into the wall sometimes and driving their car, you know, crazy, singing songs, like some Bollywood movie. Hollywood movies are very accurate, because when people fall in love, they lose their intelligence. So, there's many songs like that in the Western world, isn't it? There's one Italian song. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. You ever heard that song before? No. Amore means love. So when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, in other words, it's crazy. Anyway, so that's the point, that one gets attached, one gets crazy, and then one acts vikarma, one acts in ways, forgets one's real self-interest, and then becomes bewildered and falls down in the material world. And this is exactly what's happening with our friend Daksha here. He was very attached. What was he attached to? His false prestige, which is subtle sex life. Right? He wanted to be glorified. I mean, the only thing Lord Shiva did was he didn't stand up when Daksha came in. I mean, it's not that Lord Shiva said anything bad. I mean, can you imagine? It's just an innocent thing. He was meditating on Krishna. I mean, Lord Shiva doesn't always look like a regular person in this world. I mean, he doesn't wear clothes. I mean, there's a lot of things. Because he's absorbed in Krishna. Like the question is raised sometimes, why are the devotees of Lord Shiva very rich? And Lord Shiva is walking around without any clothes on. And Prabhupada also said here that Lord Shiva doesn't even buy his wife jewelry. And he gives the example that sometimes people sell their wives jewelry. The so-called followers of Lord Shiva, they sell the jewelry of their wives to buy ganja. Remember that in Purple? Prabhupada said that. It's actually very funny. So, but the devotees of Lord Shiva, they're generally pretty wealthy. I'm not trying to encourage people to start worshipping Lord Shiva today. But they're generally pretty wealthy. And the Lord Shiva, he's walking around like he has nothing. And then devotees of Krishna, they're struggling sometimes. And then Krishna's walking around like a king with all the opulences. So, you know, what do you do about such a situation? You know, that's the question that's raised in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of personified Vedas. So you have Lord Shiva, who's innocent. He's absorbed in Krishna. And he doesn't... The only thing that didn't happen is he didn't offer and stand up when Daksha walked in. I mean, of course, we do understand that Daksha is his father-in-law, you understand? Because, you know, Daksha's daughter, Sati, was given to Lord Shiva. And, you know, normally if your father-in-law comes into your house, you stand up to receive him. I mean, that's just the etiquette. But still, Lord Shiva, there's another etiquette, there's a spiritual etiquette, because Lord Shiva's Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, that transcends the ordinary etiquette. So Lord Shiva doesn't have to stand up even if his father-in-law comes in the house. So anyway, so Daksha was upset with this, just by, he felt neglected. Oh, nobody's worshiping me. And you see this sometimes. This is actually called an anartha. It's a subtle sex life. And it also occurs sometimes with spiritualists who take the position of guru, that, you know, they really get addicted to the worship. I remember one person many years ago, he wouldn't leave his room until his disciples had a big kirtan outside of his room. I said, there's no one that you all know. But I said to him, it's, you know, time for Bhagavatam class. He said, no, everyone has to have a giant kirtan out of my room or I'm not leaving my room. And I was thinking, Hare Krishna. So the point I'm making is, also it's mentioned by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, that one of the causes of anarthas, especially the anartha of false pride, is actually the byproduct of bhakti. There's other causes of anarthas, like sinful activities, pious activities, and offenses. But the byproducts of bhakti, when you do the bhakti, you become, people like you. People may bathe your feet. It's like sometimes I go places and people bathe my feet. Of course I get tired of it after a while. And sometimes they even steal my shoes. Like I was in Mombasa. They stole my shoes, and I said, you know, the disciple said, I said, please give me back. You know, these were nice shoes. And he said, no. He held them to his chest. And he gave me a set of shoes that were actually five sizes too small. I said, give me back my original shoes, please. He said, no, I want your shoes. So after a while, you know, so you don't take the worship so seriously after a few things like that happen. So in any case, I mean, so people worship you, they write a book about you once a year, you know, the Vyaspuja book. Can you imagine a book written about you every year? Wouldn't that be nice? You know, how nice you are. People are glorifying you, they're giving you malas, you know, fanning you, it's like some Bollywood movie, you know, they're feeding you grapes. You know, like Ravana. You know, ladies and stuff. Like that. No, not really, but I've never gotten that far into it. But then you actually get addicted to it. You know, that's a sense object. You get attached to it, and you want it, you need it. It's like an addiction, you know, like shooting some drugs. And that causes an anartha. So that's what happened with Daksha. I mean, he was a very educated, intelligent person. He's not some stupid person. He's actually extremely elevated. You know, son of Lord Brahma. So that's elevated. And he was given the service of populating the universe. That's a very high service. But because of his attachment to his expertise, you know, his prophet adoration distinction being worshipped, he got angry when he didn't get worshipped. And as a result of that, as Prabhupada said, he offended Lord Shiva. And then Prabhupada talks about the danger of offending a Vaishnava, comparing it as the Acharyas did to a mad elephant. And that the reason he's compared to a mad elephant is that a mad elephant tramples the creeper of devotion. And when the mad elephant tramples the creeper of devotion, mad elephant of offenses, one loses a taste for chanting. And when one loses a taste for chanting, guess what? You stop chanting. That's why when we join the movement, we have more of a taste than we have now, because we've committed offenses against Vaishnavas. That's why. Or other offenses against the holy names, like intention and other things. But generally, because we join the movement and then we're associated with Vaishnavas. Before we joined the movement, we didn't commit offense against Vaishnavas because we didn't have any Vaishnavas to offend, right? We were safer. That doesn't mean one should stay outside the movement to avoid offenses. Isn't it? I mean, but Prabhupada one time did that to one disciple who was very offensive. This one disciple, his name was Jamadagni. He went to Prabhupada and he was complaining about the devotees committing offenses. And Prabhupada, he asked Prabhupada, you know, what is my duty? And what is my spiritual life? And Prabhupada said, you had no more spiritual life. And he said to Prabhupada, you're my spiritual master. And Prabhupada said, you have no spiritual master. In other words, Prabhupada would say, get the hell out of here, because you've been committing so many offenses to Vaishnavas. But generally, it's not that we leave the movement to avoid committing offenses against Vaishnavas. We should stay in the movement and be on guard. And not only not commit offense, that's a negative, but actually glorify and serve Vaishnavas. That's a positive. You know, you shouldn't really concentrate on the negative. Oh, I don't want to offend you. Because you can commit offense even by neglect. If a Vaishnava walks in and you neglect him, just like the story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Meenakshetana Ramdas walked into the house. Walked in the house of. He walked into someone's house. And what happened is that the pujari sort of ignored him. He was doing pujari work. And then Meenakshetana Ramdas said, who was a great devotee of Lord Nityananda, it's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother's house. He said, now I have found a second Roma Harshana Sutta. Because that Vaishnava didn't even give up the deity worship to receive another Vaishnava. So by neglect, you can commit offenses against Vaishnavas. So it's not enough just to think about avoiding offenses. We should think of how to serve the Vaishnavas. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, manina manadena. Not wanting respect, but the best way to overcome the desire for respect is to respect manina manadena, give all respects to others, especially Vaishnavas. Anyway, so here Daksha is getting himself into big trouble, cursing Lord Shiva to not have the results of the sacrifices like the other demigods. In other words, when the demigods sit down for prasadam, Lord Shiva is not invited. But also, Prabhupada said that was a benediction, because the demigods are generally Sakama devotees, and Lord Shiva doesn't want to just associate with materialistic devotees. He wants to associate with pure devotees. So even Daksha's curse, Lord Shiva accepted gladly, as Narada Muni accepted Daksha's curse elsewhere, when Daksha cursed him not to be able to reside in one place and stay in one place for a long time. So these are some points here. So we have about 2 minutes left for class. Any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, discussions, requests? No? Alex? You don't have any questions? Come on. What happened to you? So, Vrindavan, you must have a question. Anyway, be on guard to avoid contemplating sense objects. That was the lesson from class. And be on guard with Vaishnavas. Always serve them. Become dasa, dasa, dasana, das. Gopi Bharata, Pado Kamala. Dasa, dasa, dasana, das. Okay?
Generally, there's a lack of respect. Yes. There's a tendency for quarrel, tendency for fighting.
Fighting, yeah.
How does neophyte come up to modern black?
Sure, okay. So what differentiates a neophyte from a mujjhi is the neophyte, there's several factors, but the most important factor is the neophyte just sees Krishna on the altar. You know, he goes to the temple, and Krishna's here, Gaurna Thai Vijay, Krishna Kaliya Vijay, Radhagovinda Vijay. But as soon as he walks out of the temple, Krishna's not there anymore, as far as he's concerned. And what to speak of Krishna being in everyone's heart, you know. Krishna's just on the altar. That's it. It reminds me of a movie during the 1950s. It was about a lady who was a prostitute. But she would be very nice. She would be a perfect pious lady on Sunday because she was a Christian. She wasn't a Hindu. So on Sunday, you know, that was God's day. Every other day of the week was Satan's day. You know, or Maya's day, or whatever you say. So the name of the movie was actually Never on Sunday. I'm not advising that you see it, but I saw it before I was a devotee. So that's like a Christian understanding of what my Kanishtha Adhikari is. You know, one day a week, we'll be religious the rest of the way. Or even here, they do like Ram Nomi. We're going to be vegetarians for the 9 days before Ram Nomi. But then right after Ram Nomi, you know, bring out those legs and wings, Prabhu. Isn't it? Legs, wings. What else? Anyway, I won't tell you what they eat. Chicken pakoras. You know, so that's the same thing. You know, Ram Nomi is a pious time. Or the Muslims, they also have Ramadan is a pious time. And then after that, you know, back to life, the real life. So the idea is that God is in everyone's heart. And he's everywhere. Sarvatra. And every day is his day. And everything is meant for him. Because the Isopanishad teaches us that. That everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishabashamidam Savam Yakim Chajan Jamajakat. Tenajiktena Bunjada Magritha Kashasvidanam. Everything is owned by him, it's his. So therefore, let's say if I look at Sumuk, then I have to understand that Krishna is in his heart. So if I offend Sumuk, then Krishna will get angry with me. It's not that Krishna is not watching. Just like here, I came in the temple this morning, I saw all these nice security cameras everywhere. Right? And I said, we're being watched, I better behave myself. I said, all right, Hare Krishna, chant a better japa and everything like that. Because I understood I was being recorded, right? It records everything. So you can go back tomorrow and just check what I did today, right?
Yes.
And it's on the internet too, or?
Yeah.
So it made me very well behaved. Normally I wouldn't be so well behaved. But anyway, so the same way, Krishna has security cameras on you. Just like you have two or three here, but Krishna has one on each anum, right? And he's watching you 24 hours a day. I mean, you can't escape from him. And so to bring someone up to the Majjhima platform, you have to keep informing them of that. At least that point. Krishna is everywhere. He's watching you. Whatever you do, whatever you think of, Krishna's aware of. And you get a reaction for it. Either a karmic reaction, because devotees don't get karma, but either that or Krishna just reciprocates. Yayatamam prabhajantayatam sthagavajamayam. So that's how I bring someone up to a Majjhima platform. Explain to them the danger of misbehaving when the security cameras are everywhere. What do you think? Because that's the one thing that differentiates Majjhima from Kanishtha. I mean, it's not that if you go into the karaoke clubs at night, Krishna's not there in the karaoke clubs. He's just as much there as he is in the temple room. And he's watching you foolish rascal, sorry, as you're wiggling your body in the karaoke club or whatever they do. I've never seen one, so I don't know. I guess they just like sing Bollywood songs and they have the music behind them and they imitate some big Bollywood star. Isn't that karaoke? They have the music and someone makes believe that he's the singer. That's a karaoke club. So Krishna's watching you and he's looking. He says, you jackass! Like there's two birds on a tree. You know, one is watching the other one make a fool of himself. We're enjoying the fruits, as the Upanishads say. So you're doing all these things, you're wiggling and everything like that. And Krishna's saying, won't he ever listen? He's a jackass. He's a fool. You know, he's whispering in your ear, you know, come back to me. And you're thinking, you know, I don't want to listen to that. Let me put my earplugs in. Isn't that Krishna's trying to give you intelligence? Trying to give you intelligence, direction, remembrance and everything, and you're just ignoring the whole thing all the time. So if one understands, see, the proof that one's a Kanishtadhikari is that one doesn't understand that Krishna's in the heart, and then one does any damn thing outside the temple. That's proof. Of course, the Kanishtadhikari is a devotee too. We offer respects in the mind to such a person. But we understand that this is, it's not quite a devotee, it's called a Vaishnava Praya, like almost a devotee. He's a devotee, but almost a devotee. Or another example, forgive me, is like a worm and stool. A Kanishtadhikari is like a worm and stool. Why? Because if you take a worm out of the stool, what does he do? He jumps back in. So it's the same thing with a Kanishtadhikari. You tell, you give him the philosophy of Krishna Gandhi, the material world is suffering, it's a bad place, don't fall alone, and then he just says, Jai Maharaj. And then he jumps back in the stool. Give me your blessings, Maharaj. Put your lotus feet on my head, Maharaj. And then he's swimming around in the stool again. But that's Lord Chaitanya's example. It's not my example. It's the example Lord Chaitanya gave insofar as the father and uncle, Raghunath Das Goswami. Because he said they served the Vaishnavas, but because they wanted material enjoyment, he compared them to worms and stool because they knew better, but still they were doing it. So that's a Kanishtadhikari, he's a worm and stool. But he's a nice worm, at least a devotee worm. There's Tilakam. And sometimes, even like it may be considered like Kali Chela. You understand, like a disciple of Kali, because there's quarrel. Because the thing about a Kanishtadhikari is also, you know, materialistic. Another definition of Kanishta is materialistic devotee. When you're materialistic, you're lusty. When you're lusty, you get angry, and it causes quarrel, like we see with Daksha here. So the only way I know to bring them up is explain Krishna's watching you all the time. You know, don't go to the disco. But still, they don't listen. What is it? Materna Krishna Paratos Vitoba Mato Vipadye Tigraha Vartanam. Adanda Gopira Vishatam Tamishram Punat Punas Chaya Vitacharvanam. Does anyone know that? Of course, you know that verse. That even if you give someone good association, you know, good Vaishnava association, Materna Krishna, because he really doesn't want Krishna at this point. Matirna Krishna's mind is not on Krishna. Matirna Krishna Paritos Vatova. Pitovitvajeta Grahavrata. His vow is to try to enjoy the material world. And therefore, Adandagopir Vishtam Tamashram. He goes into ignorance, he has uncontrolled senses, and then what he does is so silly, it's Punak Punas Charvita Charvanam. He does the same thing over and over again. I mean, like, it was Albert Einstein defined insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get a different result. I mean, you go to the disco every night and you think you're going to be happy, but you're miserable when it's finished. Or you drink, let's say you drink liquor, and you end up with a hangover. You know what a hangover is? The next morning you feel like hell. And you think next time it's not going to be the same. That's punat punas java, doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get a different result, the result of happiness. Matirna Krishna. That's a famous verse, actually, Bhagavatam. Punat puna, or sometimes we use the example of chewing the already chewed, which is actually the literal translation. We use the example of someone, a little child who has chewing gum, and he chews it until the sugar is finished, and then he puts it on the ground and you pick it up and start to chew it. It used to be a big problem in the United States. People used to chew a lot of gum and they put it on their seats and you sit in a bus and it ends up stuck to your toady. They don't do that here, do they? They do? You have that problem here too. So that's punak punas charvitachar. And you pick up the gum. Imagine picking up the gum that someone else has chewed and you can try to chew it. There's no more sugar in it. That's the foolishness we have in the material world. So that's Kanishtadhikari. Kanishtadhikari, he knows better. I mean, he's been told better, at least. But he still goes for it. He still keeps jumping back into it. So better to be... So you can explain that to people. That's how I would explain it. You think you're going to get happiness? How many times have you tried? Have you gotten any happiness from it? No. But tonight, there's a better movie playing at Village. Village what? Village 4 or Village 3? 4 here. In Suva they have Village 7?
6.
I have one disciple. He goes into these multi-screen theaters and he spends the whole day there. Just going from one movie to another, thinking he's going to get happiness. And he even worships superheroes. No, material superheroes, like, you know, Superman, Batman, all these things. And he just wants to just worship Hanuman. He's better than the rest of these guys. But still, you know, Punas, Punas, Charvatachar, Ananam, chewing the chew, yeah.
Isn't it also sometimes they are stubborn? They know it and they still...
Yeah.
They're like not sincere, but...
They know better. Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, actually with most people from India, it's like that. What my experience with doing preaching to people from India is that they know Krishna's God. Even the Mayavadis, they know what they're preaching is nonsense. Even like when Lord Chaitanya went in to preach to Prakachananda Saraswati, the Mayavadis admitted, you know, we knew this, but, you know, we're just doing this because that's our sampradaya, whatever. So people, you know, that's why Prabhupada said it's sometimes more difficult to make someone from India Krishna conscious than to make someone from the West, because someone from India is pretending to be a slave, whereas the people in the West are actually sleeping. Because everyone with an Indian background knows Krishna's God. I mean, Hare Krishna, you know. I would say 99.99%. But they're just trying to avoid it. There's people in the West, they don't know who God is or if God exists. And they're not trying to avoid it. They're just like in a stupor. So, yeah. And people are actually stubborn. They actually know it. They know what you're saying is true. But they're still hoping there's something else. What is that? The Shradana Purusha Dharma Shasha Prantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mitra Samsara Varnamani. They know it, but they don't have complete faith. That Shradasha Deva Shasha Deva. They don't have faith that if they serve Krishna, they'll be happy. They think there's some happiness. And especially with the modern media, there's so much propaganda that the happiness is out there. It's out there. And then, you know, I've been speaking to people who are getting married, and before they get married, especially in Fiji and India, they watch a lot of Bollywood films and they have these expectations that marriage is going to be like some fantastic Bollywood film. Isn't it? You've seen that. Previously, people knew they get married, it's hard work, you know, you have to roll, the women have to roll chapatis for the rest of their lives. I mean, they knew their expectations were a little different, right? You know, cooking, and they liked it too. I mean, it's not that they were miserable, they were happy, because it's all based on what we call expectations. But now people enter into marriage and they think that marriage is going to be like fireworks going on all the time, dancing all the time, isn't it? And then they get married and they find out, you know, it's not like that. You got to work, make money, and you got to eat, and the kids get sick. You know, they don't tell you that in the movies, is it? You know, the people get sick, they're in bad moods sometimes. Isn't it? They should tell everybody that before. They should show a reality film about married life. Just like in the West, you have these stories, what they call fairy tales, where people live happily ever after. You've heard about them before? You know, that someone meets someone else. Oh, yeah, was a Sleeping Beauty. You know the story of Sleeping Beauty? Anyway, there was a girl who was sleeping for a long time, and somehow the handsome prince comes, kisses her, and she wakes up. You've heard the story? And then at the end of the story, they live happily ever after. But it doesn't really tell. You know, if you continue the story, you'd find out there's all sorts of problems. She takes a rolling pin and hits the poor prince on the head when he doesn't bring enough money for her. I mean, so life is filled with complexities like that. Whereas, if you become addicted to the cinema, you think that life is more simplistic and idealistic than it really is, isn't it? That's why, you know, devotees, you know, they go watch these films, they just become bewildered. Everything is nice. And, you know, like you see these films, like someone falls off a building, they don't get hurt. Where did that ever happen? Even if you're walking on the ground and you trip, you break your leg. But in the films, they have unrealistic things. You know, someone like falls from the third story of the building, and they flip around a few times and then go on fighting. You seen this in the films? It's not real life. So people have this unrealistic expectation of life due to the media. Life is not like that. So any other questions? Because probably I have to greet the deities now, right? Alright, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premananda. Hari Hari Om. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.